Okay, just think for a second about your digital life. I mean, your email, photos, banking, social media, maybe even your smart thermostat or doorbell. It's this huge web of information, right?
Absolutely
We're
huge.
dealing with so much data constantly. But like, how often do we really stop and think about protecting it all?
Not often enough, usually.
Exactly. So today we're going to dive headfirst into data security. It sounds technical, maybe, but it's super crucial, often kind of misunderstood, and yeah, absolutely central to how we live now.
Precisely. And our goal here really is to just pull back the curtain a bit on data security. We want to demystify it,
Yeah.
clearly show how it's different from data privacy. People mix those up all the
Oh,
time.
constantly.
And maybe expose some, frankly, kind of embarrassing mistakes that companies and even individuals still make. The aim is to give you, the listener, some solid insights so you can navigate your digital world a bit more confidently. And the sources we looked at, they cover everything from like the core ideas to some truly eye-opening real-world blunders, stuff that should make people blush, honestly.
Okay, definitely want to hear about those. But let's start at the beginning. What is data security like fundamentally, and why is it such a big deal right now?
Right. So at its core, data security is basically about keeping your data safe. Safe from people seeing it who shouldn't, safe from it being changed, messed up, or destroyed.
Right.
And that counts no matter where it is, on your phone, in the cloud, while it's being used by an app. It's the whole life
From
cycle.
start to finish.
Exactly. From collection to processing to storage. And the foundation for all of this is something called the CIA principles. Now, this might be a refresher for some, but it's key.
CIA. Not that CIA, I assume.
Huh. No, not that one. It stands for confidentiality, integrity, and availability. Think of them as the three legs of the stool for good data security.
Okay.
So confidentiality, that's about keeping data secret. Only authorized folks get access. Pretty straightforward.
Makes sense.
Then integrity, this means making sure the data is accurate, it's complete, and nobody's tampered with it or corrupted it. It is what it's supposed to be.
Right. It hasn't been fiddled with.
Exactly. And the last one, availability, is crucial. It means your data is actually there and you can get to it when you need it.
Okay. Like if your files suddenly vanish.
Or think about a hospital getting hit by ransomware. Forget confidentiality for a second. If doctors can't access patient records, that's availability gone. And that can literally stop patient care.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
So all three are vital.
Absolutely vital. You really can't compromise on any of them.
That breakdown of CIA really clarifies the how of protection. But it brings up that other point you mentioned. The confusion between data security and data privacy. People really do use them interchangeably. Why is that wrong?
Yeah, they do. And it's a really important distinction. They are definitely not the same, though they are very closely linked. So data security is about how the data is protected, the technical stuff, the procedures, think encryption, firewalls, fighting off hackers. It's like the locks on the door, the alarm system.
Got it. The defenses.
Right. Data privacy, on the other hand, is more about who. Who gets to control your data? Who can see it? Can you ask for it to be deleted? It's about your rights over your personal information, like the right to be forgotten.
So privacy is about control and rights. Security is about the actual protection.
Exactly. And here's the key relationship. You can have security without privacy. Imagine a company encrypts your data perfectly, that's security. But if they then turn around and sell that data or share it freely, you don't have privacy.
Okay, I see.
But, and this is crucial, you absolutely cannot have data privacy without data security. If there are no locks on the door, your control means nothing. Security enables privacy.
That makes perfect sense. Security is the foundation. So, okay, beyond the principles, why should I, as an individual, care so deeply about this? It often feels like a corporate headache, not something for, everyday people.
Oh, it absolutely affects everyone, directly or indirectly. First, there are actual laws and regulations, think GDPR in Europe, but other places too. These rules force companies to protect your data, and they face massive fines if they don't.
Okay, so there are rules.
Big ones. But also think about the value of data itself. Even little bits of info that seem harmless, they can be incredibly valuable in the wrong hands.
Like, what kind of data are we talking?
The obvious stuff, sure, credit card numbers, social security numbers, bank details, but also your email address, your social media accounts. These are keys to your digital kingdom. And that leads to the next point. Modern life depends on this stuff. Everything is connected now. If you lose access to just your email, think about how many other accounts are linked to it for password resets or verification.
Everything. Banking, shopping.
Exactly. It can completely topple your access to so many vital services. Your digital identity is basically your gateway to, well, everything these days.
Okay. That really hits home.
Yeah.
Given all the laws, the value, the dependency, why do companies sometimes seem so, I don't know, slow or reluctant to really invest properly in data security? Seems like a massive risk not to.
It does seem counterintuitive, doesn't it? But from a corporate viewpoint, it often boils down to a few things. Number one, cost.
Always cost.
Yep. Good security, following all the rules properly, it's expensive. Ugh. Hardware, software, expertise, audits, it adds up. And companies, well, they prefer spending money on things that directly make money.
Right. Security feels like an expense, not an investment to them sometimes.
Often, yeah. Then there's this habit of data hoarding. Companies collect way more data than they actually need, just in case.
Just in case they can sell it later.
Or use it for marketing or analytics, yep. Or, yeah, maybe sell it. But protecting this giant mountain of data is way more expensive and complicated than just, you know, letting it sit there.
So collecting less would actually make security easier and cheaper.
Bingo! Which brings us to revenue impact. Strong security and privacy rules can limit how companies use or sell the data they have. So better security might mean less income from data brokers or targeted advertising.
No, a direct conflict.
Can be. And finally, there's this idea of privacy being kind of nebulous. Security standards like encryption levels are sort of easier to agree on technically, but what one person thinks is private, another might not care about. That makes creating universal privacy policies harder. So yeah, it often comes down to weighing the perceived cost against the perceived risk, and sometimes short-term thinking wins.
That perspective is, well, it's something. It makes you wonder, though, are there examples where companies did make security core and it paid off?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we should jump into the opposite when that short-sightedness leads to truly epic fails. You mentioned some blunders.
Oh, let's definitely talk blunders. These are the ones that really make you shake your head. They highlight the human side or maybe the lack of common sense side.
Okay, hit me.
Right. Remember the LifeLock CEO? The guy who was so confident in his identity theft protection company?
Vaguely. What did he do?
He put his actual social security number on billboards as an advertisement to prove how good his service was.
Nope, he didn't.
He did. The result, his identity was stolen. 13 times in 1 year.
Oh my God. That's not irony. That's just...
Wow.
Right.
Then there was a company called Logic Monitor. They sold data security services.
So they should know better.
You'd think. Their customers got breached because Logic Monitor itself had incredibly weak security on its own admin accounts. We're talking username, admin, password, welcome at 123.
You're kidding. For admin access.
For admin access. Full control. It's almost hard to believe a security company.
Unbelievable.
And then there's the whole ongoing saga with IoT cameras, you know, smart doorbells, baby monitors, security cams.
Yeah, a couple of those.
So many of them, especially early models, shipped with default usernames and passwords that were hard-coded, meaning you couldn't change them.
What? Like what passwords?
Often things like admin and admin or user and password. Super simple, easily guessable, and because they were connected to the internet.
Anyone could potentially log in globally?
Exactly. Turning private cameras into public webcams, huge global security holes built right in.
That is genuinely jaw-dropping. Seriously makes you want to double-check every device you own.
Yeah.
These aren't just little oopsies, they're fundamental failures. So, okay, learning from these nightmares, what are the actual best practices? What can we do besides just facepalm?
Well, the good news is a lot of the basics, what people call cyber hygiene, aren't that complicated. We're talking strong, unique passwords. Please use a password manager. It makes life so much easier.
Okay, password manager. Got it.
Keep your software updated. Those updates often patch security holes. And
yeah.
Absolutely, positively use multi-factor authentication, MFA or 2FA, wherever you can. That extra code or tap on your phone, it's a huge barrier for attackers.
That second step, yeah. Super important.
It really is. Also, just be cautious. Think before you click links. Be careful about websites you visit. Don't overshare information online or in forms. And remember, data security and cybersecurity are basically tangled together now because everything's online.
Right. Inseparable.
For good, reliable info, government sites are actually great. CISA, that's CISA.gov, and NIST, NIST.gov. They have frameworks and best practices. They're not trying to sell you anything.
Okay, CISA and NIST. Good resources.
And for maybe a less corporate view, nonprofits like the EFF, EFF.org are worth checking out. Just be a bit wary of like white papers from security companies. They might have an agenda, you know.
Sell you their product. Makes sense. But does security look totally different for, say, my local pizza place versus a giant like Facebook? The scale must change things dramatically.
Oh, massively. The challenges are different. Big companies like Facebook, they're huge targets, obviously. More data, more complexity, bigger potential payout for hackers. But they also have massive resources.
Armies of security people, big budgets.
Exactly. A breach hurts them? Sure. Bad PR, maybe fines. But they usually survive. People aren't likely to just abandon Facebook entirely overnight. They can weather it.
Okay. And small businesses.
Small companies, it's different. They might fly under the radar sometimes. Less attractive targets, maybe. But if they do get hit, it can be fatal.
Fatal? Like shut down the business?
Absolutely. Think about reputation in a local community. Word gets around fast. Plus,
right.
They often just don't have the money or the staff for top-tier security. Maybe they're storing customer data in plain text because they don't know better or can't afford complex systems. A breach can wipe out customer trust in their finances almost instantly.
Wow. The impact is just so much more immediate and potentially devastating for them.
Way more severe, often. Both financially and just in terms of their relationship with their customers.
Okay, so we've covered external hackers, corporate foot dragging, basic practices. But what about less obvious threats?
Oh.
Things we might not even think of as data security risks.
Yeah, there are definitely some sneaky ones. One of the biggest, honestly, it's user apathy. Just people not caring enough or not understanding the risks.
Like clicking agree without reading.
Totally. Or just freely giving out personal info because it's easier. How often does a cashier ask for your phone number? Do you have to give it? Usually not.
Good point. Or signing up for loyalty cards.
Exactly. Those often involve trading a lot of data for a small discount or, you know, using your social security number as an identifier when maybe an account number would do. We're often nudged or just conditioned to share more than necessary. Systems are kind of designed to pull info out of us.
So our own habits are a threat.
A huge one. Then there's just plain old poor credential management inside companies. People sharing logins, using weak default passwords that never get changed, leaving machines unlocked. Basic stuff, but it happens constantly.
The internal risks.
Big time. And of course, you still have the traditional threats. Increasingly sophisticated hackers, generally poor cyber hygiene overall, and social engineering tricking people into giving up info or access. That one never goes away.
Okay, so threats from outside, threats from inside, threats from ourselves. It's a lot. Let's shift slightly. We talked about protection, but what about recovery? You mentioned availability. That sounds like backups are key.
Backups are fundamental, non-negotiable. They are the primary way you ensure availability, that A in CIA.
Right.
If your main system gets fried or hit by ransomware or someone just accidentally deletes a critical folder, your backup is your lifeline. It's how you get your data back and keep operating.
Makes sense. Just having them is enough.
Not quite. This is where people slip up. First, your backups need the same level of protection as your original data. If your backups are sitting unencrypted on an easily accessible server, they're just another target for attackers.
Okay. Secure the backups too.
Absolutely. Second, you have to verify them regularly. Test restoring data from them. Make sure they're actually working and not corrupted. Too many people find out their backups are useless only after they desperately need them.
Ouch. That would be painful.
Excruciating. And here's a pro tip. Backups need backups. Don't rely on a single backup system or location. What if there's a fire or a flood? Having offsite or multiple types of backups is critical for real resilience. Think about the value of that data. Years of work, customer records. Losing it is often unthinkable.
Backups for the backups. Okay, that's a solid takeaway. Now, you teased something earlier that sounds kind of mind-bending, the myth of deleting data. When I hit delete on my computer,
okay. It's
not actually gone.
Prepare to have your mind slightly bent. No, generally it's not gone. Not in the way you probably think.
Okay, explain.
So when you say delete a file in Windows or macOS, usually the operating system just removes the pointer to that file. It marks the space the file occupied as available or not used anymore.
So it just hides it.
Pretty much. The actual ones and zeros that make up the file are still physically sitting there on the hard drive. The system just doesn't point to them anymore, so they appear gone to you.
Whoa.
And because the data is still there, it's often trivially easy to recover using file recovery software. Lots of free tools can do it. As the saying goes, the files weren't really lost to begin with. That's just an erase.
So delete doesn't mean delete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you actually get rid of data then? For realsies.
For realsies, wipe, you need to do more than just remove the pointer. You need to actively write over the physical space where the data was stored.
Like scribble over it digitally.
Exactly. You overwrite it with random data, maybe zeros, maybe ones, maybe complex patterns. Sometimes, for really sensitive data, experts recommend doing this multiple times.
Why multiple times?
Because of something called the echo effect, especially on older magnetic hard drives. Faint magnetic traces of the original data might remain even after one overwrite. Multiple passes make recovery practically impossible. So delete or erase is just hiding. A wipe actually overwrites.
Okay, wipe is better. You mentioned shred too.
Yeah, shredding usually refers to using specialized software that does those multiple complex overwrites. It's a more secure, thorough version of wiping designed to meet certain standards for data destruction, much more rigorous than just hitting delete.
Gotcha. Delete, erase, wipe, shred. Different levels.
Different levels entirely. And don't forget other hardware. Old printers, routers, even office photocopiers have hard drives or memory these days. They store data. You need to wipe or physically destroy them before you get rid of them.
Wow, printers too. Never thought of that.
Okay.
This is a lot. So bringing it all together, what does this mean for me, for you, for the listener, just trying to live their life online?
Yeah. I think it means fundamentally that you need to be aware. Aware that your data is valuable and it should be yours to control. You should get to choose who you share it with and why. Understanding security helps you make better choices.
Take back some control.
Hopefully. It also means understanding your vulnerability. How your data, if exposed, could harm you or others. Think about things like location data being sold that's not theoretical. It happens. And it can be incredibly dangerous for certain people.
Right. Real world harm.
And finally, just be aware that your data is constantly used to manipulate you, often in subtle ways. Algorithms designed to keep you scrolling, dark patterns on websites, tricking you into buying things or signing up for stuff you don't need. That's all fueled by data about you.
So it's about being informed and intentional. This deep dive really shows data security isn't just some IT department problem. It's deeply personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's about protecting ourselves, our info, our choices in this super connected world.
Absolutely. It's ongoing vigilance, not a one-off task.
So a final thought to leave everyone with.
Okay, here's something to chew on. Given how easily data hangs around, how it leaves those echoes and needs real effort to truly erase, how much control do we actually have over our digital past once we've put something out there, even if we think we've deleted it? And maybe bigger picture, what does it mean for society if data, once created, potentially never truly disappears? What are the long-term effects of that? Something to mull over as you go about your digital day.